But today I want to talk to you about, does God play it safe? Does God play it safe? And you got to be careful about what your answer is. Because whatever your answer is going to relate to how he treats those he owns. Can't hear you. If he plays it safe, then he's going to play it safe with you. If I'm a very safe person, don't like to take chances, I'm not going to do it with my car. Amen? I'm not going to do it with my family. And I'm not going to do it with any option of getting hurt. But if I am not a safe person, now that doesn't mean I'm not safe as an individual. What it means is that I will take chances. If God doesn't play it safe, then you and I got to come to the conclusion, maybe he won't play it safe with you. Maybe he is going to do things that put you in situations that literally don't seem safe. He may allow you to have a disease. And to you, it may be the worst thing in the world, but he has the final word even over disease. So if he has the final word over disease, if he allows you to have a disease, is that bad? If he lets your house, I didn't say he calls your house. I said if he lets your house burn down. And there's more ways for a house to burn down besides fire. Can't hear you. Amen. It may put you in a position where you go bankrupt. Your house burned down. Your mate walks out on you. Your house burns down. A loved one. Not all loved ones are live ones. Amen. A loved one dies. Your house burns down. He doesn't make you as comfortable as you want. Your house burns down. He makes you do things you don't want to do. Your house burns down. In other words, he totally removes your security from everything you planned. You've done. You've hoped for. You prayed for. Does God play it safe? And you and I need to come to this conclusion as we go through these verses. Because I believe if we come to the right conclusion, a biblical conclusion, all of us can relax a little bit. Because the very moment we think life is out of control, it's the greatest moment to look at he who is total control, sovereign, who lets nothing touch you that does not filter through his hands first. But if you don't know how he plays the game, you can have a tendency to complain. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you want to say today to us and through us. Father, you know my prayers, you have moved me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, this is your word. And it is a difficult chapter, not to understand, Father, but to live. May you give your servant the words that will penetrate hearts and minds. that none of us will ever be the same. We need to know, Father, do you play it safe? In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we pray, Father, by being controlled by your Spirit, that you may teach me that others may be taught. In Jesus' name, we all say. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to read the whole entire chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians is the second letter to the church of Corinth. The church at Corinth was probably one of the most carnal churches in the New Testament. It had is the only New Testament church that is written about that had all the gifts. And all those gifts was being shared and lived, and pride stepped in, and tongues got to be a big issue, the gift of tongues. And there was pride being built up about how holy some were and how unholy others were. And there was separatism in the church body, where those that was the spiritual would gather together. Those that were the non-spiritual or the carnal would gather together. Those that was rich gathered together. Those that was poor was pushed together. Carnal church proves one thing: just because you got a certain gift don't make you spiritual. And Paul wrote the first letter to tell them off, and they got so mad at him that he had to write a second letter to get some things cleared up with them. And in the midst of that second letter, we find chapter 4. Chapter 4 follows chapter 3. I know that's hard to believe. But in chapter 3, God lays out some tremendous truths about how God works and how God brings glory upon the earth. And he talked about Moses meeting the Father on the hill. And it was such an experience for Moses when he saw the afterglow of God. That's what it literally means. He stepped from the cleft of the rock and saw God's afterglow. And the afterglow was so bright that it lit Moses literally up like a flashlight. His whole body glowed. And when he came off the hill, he looked like one of those glow sticks coming down carrying the Ten Commandments. And when Moses picked up the Ten Commandments, they were so heavy, I think the first thing he asked is, does this come in cassette? We want everything to be convenient, amen? And it says that the people marveled at Moses' presence with the Lord and the effects that the presence of the Lord left on him. And they said in chapter 3 that if they can glory and marvel at that which will stop, that which will go away, that which died out, because eventually the glory of God left it. And it says if the people can get excited about that, can you and I get excited about that which will never leave? That glory that will always be present. And that glory is the relationship to Jesus Christ and the ministry that he has given us on earth. You don't understand that, do you? You see, I understand it just a little bit. That's why I'm so whacked out. God is keeping me from seeing it a lot of bit. Because if I see it a lot of bit, I know I'd be nuts. And people be running out of here like crazy. Better not go over there. That boy believed God 100%. That leads us to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. And that's why we have the first word, therefore. Therefore, since you understand the glory that God has given us, through giving us a ministry, He says this: therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'm reading from the King James, Scofield edition, Oxford, 1807, 1907, 1967, revised in 1996 edition of the Bible. So if you get a little confused, you may not have the same version, but we are end up in the same place.
Amen.
Amen. You see, I'm using the one that Jesus Christ used. To teach Joseph Smith. At least that's what Joseph said. Amen. And here we go. Amen. Man, we gonna get through reading today. That's it, huh? Well, we had a good time so far. Amen.
Amen.
Watch it. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Check this out. In whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Each section, almost every verse, has a contrast to it. This is one of the most powerful individual chapters outside of Romans 8 that you can read and study in the Bible. It talks about God's view of what he wants to do with his people, the church. It's only one other chapter that I'd rather have. If I was going to be on a desert island and only could choose one chapter, my first one would be Romans 8. But if I couldn't have Romans 8, if some kid had tore it out, the next chapter I would choose would be 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because it gives the contrast of what God is like. You see, spiritually, he's extremely safe. When it comes to your spiritual being, he is extremely safe. But when it comes to your physical being, he said that's temporary. And he ain't safe with that at all. Can I get a witness? Our problem is we want him to be physically safe and spiritually unsafe. That's why we think we can sin and him not get upset. See, good. Yeah, you're flowing with me. Okay, now watch this. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. That's why Antioch has the motto. Think of others as more important than yourself. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of the bride? The show, the groom. To reflect the groom. To let the world see what a wonderful groom we have. What is the purpose of knowing the groom and what he's like and what he's not like. Man, this got to be a good chapter. I'm not doing anything but reading. Wait till we break it down. Can I get a witness? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're going to break down that word excellence. Do you realize that that word is only used by one author in the New Testament? It's the only time it's used. Paul uses it in several of his books and letters that he writes. But no other author uses that word in the whole New Testament. We're going to have to break that down. If it's the only one used by one author in the New Testament, there's something you and I need to know about it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Look at this. We are troubled on every side. How many sides?
Every.
Some people may have more sides than other people. But God can cover all the sides. Can I get a witness? Oh, we are troubled on how many sides? Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You don't understand those verses, because if you do, you'd be up yelling right now. I'm just going to give you a little taste of what it means when we go through this. Whoa, man. Anybody got any interpretations? Excitement got away with me a little bit on that. Woo, put that tongue back in that mouth. See, I know what's coming. Let me break it down for you a little bit. We are troubled on every side. That's physical. Yet not distressed. That's spiritual. You don't hear me, do you? Look at this. Listen to this. We are perplexed. That's physical. But not in despair. That's spiritual. Persecuted. That's physical. But not forsaken. That's spiritual. Cast down. That's physical. But not destroyed. That's spiritual. Where do you think God wants you to live? In the physical or the spiritual? And yeah, I can tell exactly where you live by your countenance. And so can everyone else after we understand this chapter. Is God safe? Physically? No. Spiritually? Yes. Look at this, look at this. Then we got to get out of here. Oh my goodness. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. What do you think God thinks about the flesh? He wants it to die. He wants it to die. It's temporary. It's just like the plastic on the gift that comes. I can't hear you. You see, when God gives us life, it was wrapped in a package. And you and I are so backwards, we're caught up in the package than the gift. I would love to come to your house for Christmas. I give you the boxes. I take the gift. I give you the paper. I take the gift. I let you even keep the plastic. But I keep the gift. Now, would that be absolutely a stupid thing on your part? You're going to find out what I'm talking about. It's disposable. The flesh. It's not meant to last. The flesh. We're going to break that down. Is God safe? It's according to what you're talking about. It's according to which ram you want to be in. Ooh, look at this. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Shoot me. Doesn't matter, I stand back up. Cut me. Doesn't matter, I'm going to stand back up. Try to kill me. That's all right, I'm going to stand back up. See, if you know this, why do you want to play it safe? Look at this. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That's a good word, redound. We're going to break that down. Redound, broke down. For which cause we faint not. Start off in verse 1. Faint not. Verse 16. Because we understand this, we faint not. There's something God's trying to tell us. Amen. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceedingly and external weight of glory. We're going to break that down. Check this out. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary. But the things not seen is eternal. When it comes to temporary things, it's going to go away. God isn't safe. When it comes to those things that is eternal, he is extremely safe.